Hello, and thank you for joining this lesson from a series on the miracles of Jesus. It's already week 11 of the COVID quarantine, and hopefully we'll be entering phase two soon, but I'm thankful to be recording these lessons for those who are still not able to get out yet, and I'm praying for you. And I'm hoping that you're blessed, even through this difficult time. I hope you're enjoying these as much as I am, because I feel like as we're going through the miracles of Jesus, spiritually, the eyes of our faith is opening more and more to see Jesus' compassion, His power, His mission. And our text today is Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 27. Now, how often do I ask someone to tell me my blind spots? Not very often. In fact, probably never, because my wife already does that. My wife says, "You know, my preacher says we shouldn't do that." But seriously, how often do you ask anyone to tell you your blind spots? Usually we don't want people to tell us our blind spots. So unfortunately, it's usually the hard knocks of life that show us our blind spots. And that's even if we're even paying attention or if we even believe it. Two blind men want Jesus to open their eyes. But Jesus knows that physical eyesight is not their greatest need. Their greatest need is actually spiritual eyesight. To be able to see with the eyes of faith. And so read with me, Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 27. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all the country. I want to draw your attention to five points about faith in this miracle. And the first is the necessity of persistent faith. Two blind men were following him. Verse 27. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." People are seeking Christ and asking for help. Jesus had already healed a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. Then he raised Jairus' daughter back to life. He'd already cleansed a leper. And when he departed from Jairus' house, two blind men are following him. And they're calling out to Jesus, but Jesus keeps walking. They're following him and they're crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on us." But Jesus doesn't stop immediately. He keeps walking and he enters a house. And so these two blind men follow Jesus into someone's house. They could have just given up trying. Jesus wasn't stopping. They could have just given up, but they didn't. And I just want you to know that God wants us to have a persistent faith. There's a point where a person can get so comfortable in life that they no longer seek the Lord. They just stop trying to follow the Lord. They just give up. And these two blind men could have decided it was just too much trouble to seek Jesus, especially since they're blind. They're having to follow Jesus completely blind. There's a point where a person can just get so comfortable with where they're at in life that they just stop trying. You know, I might be blind, sure. Yes, I might be blind in some areas, but I'm a good person. So I don't need the Lord, right? I'm fine the way I am. I'm not perfect, but I'm not a murderer. I'm not a drug dealer. So I'm fine the way I am. Maybe I'm blind to my pride, or blind to my anger, blind to my jealousy or resentment, blind to my sin. Doesn't that happen? In Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. You see, a person can just give up and think, well, this is just the way I am. Or, I'm fine, I'm a good person, I'm pure in my own eyes. God wants us to have a persistent faith. They could have given up, but they didn't. You know, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Did you know that the Greek tense here is keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking? It's not just ask once and then give up. Seek for a couple minutes. Knock, well, nobody's answering. Keep asking until you receive. Keep seeking until you find. Keep knocking until it's opened. And that requires a persistent faith, not a superficial one. So God wants us to have a persistent faith. But notice next the necessity of a tested faith. So verse 27 again, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. So they're following Jesus. He doesn't stop just because they cry out to him. He keeps going into the house. They have to go into someone's house. They're blind. And Jesus just asked them point blank, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Why would Jesus ask them this question? You know, some people don't believe Christ at all. Some people don't believe he has the power to help them. Some people believe Jesus doesn't have the interest or the care enough to help them. And so what is Jesus doing? He is using a question to test their faith. Is their faith real or is it superficial? Are they willing to admit it out loud for everyone to hear? Or are they ashamed of their faith? God expects us to have a tested faith and to pass the test of faith. It's like fair weather friends. Fair weather faith is like a fair weather friend. A lot of people are fair weather friends of the Lord. They believe when it's convenient or when it's easy or when it's rewarded. Kind of like the parable of the sower. Some of the seed fell on shallow hearts. Some of the seed fell on distracted hearts. Some on rocky, hard hearts. Some on choked hearts. Choked by the worries and cares of the world. Some seed fell on good hearts. What was the difference? Some people didn't pass the test of faith. Their faith was so shallow. Their heart was so shallow that the seed, as soon as it sprung up, it just couldn't take root. Often before Jesus would perform a miracle, he would challenge a person's heart to draw them to greater faith. You're going to see that over and over in the miracles of Jesus. He's going to challenge you. He's going to challenge you. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? He asks. We need to have a persistent faith, we need to have a tested faith, and we also need to have a true faith. Verse 29. Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." Okay, we're going to put it to the test. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Yeah, we believe. Okay. Well, then according to your faith, let it be to you. Jesus was not going to let their faith be disappointed. They asked and it was given. They were seeking and they found. They were knocking and Jesus opened their eyes. Their true vision was proof of their true faith. And here's what's amazing. The Pharisees who could see, could not see that Jesus was the Messiah prophesied about in the Old Testament. But these men who are blind could see that Jesus was the Son of David, the Messiah, even though they were physically blind. God wants us to have a true faith. Faith is the conduit. Faith is the conducting link between man's emptiness and God's fullness. R.C. Trench. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. But without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Not superficially, diligently seek Him. God wants us to have a true faith. You see, no man is dealt with according to his profession or his income or his status. He is dealt with according to his faith. But our true vision must be proof of our true faith. In other words, we can see spiritually now. We can see beyond what is apparent to that which is real. We can see beyond what is temporary to that which is eternal. We can see beyond the lies to the truth that sets us free. If we have faith. It saddens me, and I know you're saddened too, by the division, the fighting, the anger, the resentment across the country right now. But looking at it through the eyes of faith, you and I both know this isn't just about class conflict. It's more than that. It's a part of the spiritual battle that even affects God's people. Look at what John says in 1 John 2:9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You see, Satan has blinded the world so it cannot see. It cannot see except through the eyes of envy and lust and hatred and murder. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:3. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. You see, Satan has blinded the world, blinded it with sin, with hatred, with anger, with envy, with lust, with murder. And we can't see until we step out of the darkness and into his light. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We're not going to be able to see. We're still going to be blinded by the enemy until we step out of darkness into the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's going to require faith. True faith. That opens our eyes. But notice also the reward of true faith. Verse 30. And their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. And the first person they see is Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Their eyes are opened for the first time, and their first person they see is Jesus standing before them. Jesus is the only one who can set the captives free from the prison of darkness because he is the light of the world. Do you remember when Jesus launched his ministry? He did so reading from Isaiah in the synagogue in Nazareth. And he took the scroll of Isaiah and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Jesus opens the eyes of the blind. That is the reward of true faith. When we fully trust in him, God will reward true faith. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 37:5, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday." But it takes faith. We have to trust in him. Do you remember Jesus talked about that? So Jesus answered and said to them, Mark 11:22, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he asks," or whatever he says. "Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Do you believe that? It's going to take faith to believe what Jesus is saying. "Have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt, but believes those things he says will be done." What's the mountain in your life that needs to be moved? You know, the biggest mountain that needs to be moved is in your heart. That's the biggest mountain that needs to be moved. But God can do that if you have faith. He can move that mountain in your heart. I heard about a caller who had called into a political news talk show last week. And the caller said, "I need some encouragement and hope because of everything going on. I am so upset and discouraged for our country." They were at their wit's end. And they just needed some encouragement because of how upset they were. And the radio host said, "Turn off the news. Turn it off. Turn off the news entirely for an entire week and tell me if it helps." Do you think he was right? Do you think he was right? Notice what Isaiah says. In Isaiah 26:3, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." Think about that. Who? You, God, will keep him. In what? In perfect peace. How? Whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. Is your trust in politicians? They can't save you. They don't even care about you unless it's election year. Is your trust in doctors? They can't even agree. The doctors can't agree. Is your trust in the news media? They have an agenda. Where is your faith? If your faith is in them, no wonder you have no peace. If your faith and trust is in God, he will give you peace. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. But you've got to have a real faith. It's got to be real. And that's the reward of true faith, that we can cast all our anxieties on him because he cares for us. But there's one last point. We see the reward of true faith, but we also end by seeing the rejection of a fake faith. Remember verse 30, and their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all the country. Jesus had sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." We're seeing this in a number of miracles. Jesus told Jairus and his wife not to tell anyone that Jesus had raised their daughter from the dead. He told the leper that he healed not to tell anyone, but he did anyway. And if you remember in Mark chapter 1 and verse 45, it hindered Jesus' ministry. He told the leper, don't tell anyone, but the leper did tell everyone. And Jesus was not even able to enter the city because of the crowds. He actually had to go out into the deserted places. So it actually hindered his ministry. And now he's telling these two men who were blind and now they see, not to tell anyone, and they disobey him. So my question is, why wouldn't Jesus want everyone to know? If Jesus was leading a movement, isn't more people more power? Doesn't he want more people to know what he's doing and these amazing miracles that he's performing? Why is Jesus telling people, don't tell anyone? I believe one reason was because it would attract crowds who wanted to use Jesus for their own agenda. Do you remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? They turned around and they wanted to take him by force and make him king. Think about that for a moment. He fed the 5,000 and they wanted to turn around and by force make him king. I mean, if Jesus can feed 5,000 people, he can feed an army, right? And if he can feed an army, then we can march on Rome. And we can overthrow our slave masters. And then we can become the superpower nation of the world. Let's make Jesus king for our own personal agenda. I think that the crowds that had their own agenda were going to hinder Jesus' ministry. And so we see that God is not going to reward a fake faith. He's not interested in adoring crowds who would eventually want to use Jesus for their own agenda. And I think this may have been the problem with Judas. Think about Judas Iscariot. Judas knew Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He spent 3 years with Jesus. He saw all the miracles. But as it has been said, the heart wants what it wants or it doesn't care. The heart wants what it wants or it doesn't care. I think the tragedy of Judas was that of selfishness. And I think it's summed up well in this assessment by Barclay. The tragedy of Judas is that he refused to accept Jesus for who he was and tried to make Jesus what he wanted him to be. It is not Jesus who can be changed by us. It is us who must be changed by Jesus. The tragedy of Judas is the tragedy of the man who thought he knew better than God. And this is the problem when Jesus is telling people, don't tell anyone, but people know better than God, right? We know what's best. I don't know the reasons why Judas, all the reasons why Judas betrayed Jesus. That's a whole study in and of itself. But I think it's clear that the tragedy of Judas is the tragedy of the man who thought he knew better than God. Satan blinds the minds of those who do not love the truth. God's word opens our eyes so that we can see. And so I think it's fascinating that someone else who thought they knew better than God, Saul of Tarsus, who could physically see, was spiritually blind. And so Jesus had to blind him so he could see. Jesus actually blinded him physically so he could see spiritually. And then, after turning around, blinding Saul, and then opening his eyes, he sends Saul out to open the eyes of everyone else. Notice this mission that Jesus gives him. He's going to send him out to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. How amazing. How amazing. Saul could truly say, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was dead, but now I am alive. All because Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You see, he is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And he is able to do far and above everything. Anything that we ask or even think. Will you let him open your eyes of faith? Will you let him do that? David asked God, open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. Would you let God open your eyes? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. Jesus can and will open our minds and open our eyes of faith. May God bless you in that request. Thank you.